You're listening to Confidence on the Go, your go-to podcast for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action in your pursuit of living life to the fullest. I'm your host, confidence coach and personal trainer, Trish Blackwell, and it's my absolute honor and pleasure to spend some time with you each week to celebrate this beautiful thing called life. What's up, everyone? You are listening to episode number 176 of Confidence on the Go. Today, we are talking about letting go of control. I'm your host, Trish. Maybe you're new to the show. I want to give you a big virtual high five and hug. This is a place where we share the love. So, and if you, of course, are a returning member of this community, you guys, we call this the Be More Movement. So I want to commend you and thank you for being someone committed to being more of who you were created to be. And that's mentally, physically, and spiritually. And that means like being confident in who you are and loving who you are and how you're living in the present moment today. And then leaning in to your tomorrows with this eagerness and enthusiasm to continue to learn and grow patiently, but knowing that each day is an opportunity to love more people more profoundly and to make more of an impact in this world. And we do that by really growing into this person we're created to be. So in this week's episode of Confidence on the Go, we're chatting about a few things. So I've been really thinking about this issue of control because, as always, like, something comes up in my life that I start having to work through some of these concepts, which is why I want to share them with you. Specifically, though, we're talking about the two different types of roles that control plays in our lives and how to leverage them both correctly. So there's a positive control and there's also a negative control. So I've actually put together a list of things that you can control in your life and the things that we can't. Now, the lists seem very obvious, but it's very interesting that most of us swap out interchange those two lists quite frequently. So we're going to nail down how we can do that. Then we're also going to be talking about letting go of control reminds us that we're human and it grounds us, well, to really experience life more freely because we are able to realize that God's got us, you know, that we are well taken care of. And then I'm going to close out with five specific probing questions, at least I think they're probing, for you to ask yourself today to help you walk through this constructively letting go of control in your life, that negative control that you're convincing yourself that you have that you don't actually have, but really that's maybe been holding you back from free and joyful living. So that's what you got in store for this episode today. I always like telling you guys the first because, I mean, you may not be interested in the topic, and that's totally cool, and I don't take offense if there's a particular episode that's just not your jam. So I hope, of course, that they all are up your alley and something that you're interested in. So, but thank you guys to everyone. You guys have been amazing as a community, reaching out to me recently and telling me which episodes were resonating with you or which ones were perfect timing. So thank you so much for that. That really helps me know if I'm in tune to serving you well. Like, this is the heartbeat of what I do. I love this show. I love this community, but I got to make sure it serves and coaches you well. So thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the show requests. All of those matter and help me continue to grow this show into more and more of a life-changing resource for you in your lives. Okay, so just a quick hello to all of my Keep the Faith listeners out there. Thank you for, well, being a part of the community of Contagious Encouragement off the airwaves and into the podcast waves. And then also, of course, a sponsorship note. I am partnered and sponsored. This episode and this show is sponsored by Beauty Counter. Beauty Counter is an amazing company that I work with and am partnered with, where we believe in getting safer products in the hands of everyone. There has not been a major law passed in the United States regulating the cosmetic or personal care industry since 1938. In the European Union, over 1,400 chemicals are proven to be toxic to human health and therefore are banned from products. Of that list of 1,400, there are 11 in the US that are banned. The other 1,300 something are in use. And it's not okay because consumers are not being educated about it and told about it. And so Beauty Counter, we believe in educating and empowering you to read labels, choose better products, vote with your consumer dollars, and trust by that and know that when you buy a Beauty Counter product, you are getting the strictest and safest product that's on the market. We pride ourselves in that. And also we follow a never list where we have 1,500 chemicals we will never even consider letting touch our products. So you can shop And check out Beauty Counter at beautycounter.com/TrishBlackwell. And of course, I would always love to share more with you. If you're interested in the mission, in the movement, in anything, send me an email. My email is trish@trishblackwell.com. Okay, let's dive into this concept of letting go, quotes on letting go. So Leo Tolstoy said, everybody thinks of changing humanity, but nobody thinks of changing himself. And I think that was, like, for me, this concept of letting go of control. A lot of times my control is outwardly trying to change other people's opinions or actions or whatever it might be. And that is, you know, we're trying to change the world. Like, we're changing humanity. But humanity starts when we first start changing ourselves. And I thought that was a really profound shift and reframing of the concept. And a great thinker, Napoleon Hill, who's one of my absolute favorites, he wrote that no one can make you jealous, angry, vengeful, or greedy unless you let him. So that is something that we do have control over. And then this is an anonymous quote that I found that was pretty relevant, is that the control center of your life is your attitude. So there is positive control and there's negative control, but the control center of your life is your attitude. And you know, I'd always been told by my mom and growing up and in swimming by my coaches, hey, have a good attitude, or like, you know, your attitude's everything. And then it wasn't until about eight or nine years ago, I really started understanding that your attitude determines your altitude. And I thought about that from a business perspective, that attitude determines the altitude of my business. But then you take that onto a ground base perspective and the attitude really affects everything. My attitude about life, my attitude about others, my attitude about myself, my attitude about my potential, about others' potential, about how I can change myself and help myself be capable of loving more profoundly and with more impact. The attitude is, I like that. And for those of you who watched, you know, the movie Inside Out, I love the animation of thinking like we've got this control center in our minds, and that mega stick is our attitude. So powerful. Okay, so there is an okay thing about control. Like as an achiever, as somebody who's very disciplined and likes structure, I love control. I love it. I love tracking things. I like the control of statistics. I like writing my food down. I like writing my workouts down. I like having a plan every week and following that in my agenda. And I like the control that I feel with that. I like the control that comes from high-level habits of creating, you know, we've talked about this in previous episodes, these high-level habits that become automated by our natural tendency to do them over and over. That's a control mechanism, and that's not a bad thing. It's a discipline. So control, when it comes to like high-level habits and discipline, is a good thing. But, you know, and the list of things that you can control, are you ready? So we've got your breath, your attitude, your beliefs, your self-talk, your gratitude, your perspective, your body language, your habits, your physical fitness, your mental fitness, your nutrition, your relationship with food, your relationship with your body, your relationship with yourself, and your rest or sleep. Now, you might, concerning the sleep, you might say, well, I struggle with sleep and I toss and turn all night. I don't get, but you know, you can't maybe control the quality of your sleep initially, but there are things you can do around sleep to make sure you're getting more rest, or that, you know, we can control. A lot of times when people struggle with sleep, it's because there's so much anxiety going on, but you can control that through your breath, through your beliefs, through your self-talk, through what your habits are, through what you're working through. Some of that you can control by getting in the right setting for therapy or for writing. Like, there are a lot of things in our control that we have the ability to do, but like, I know that for me, and sometimes in life, like, I've always felt a little out of control. Like, it's funny, part of my eating disorder back in the day was based around this fear of control. I actually had the lack of self-trust. I was almost like, you know, I couldn't control myself around food sometimes. And sometimes, though, it was the adverse of that. I could control myself. So, like, sometimes I would go, you know, days without eating a lot. And then there would be days where I would eat a whole thing of Oreos and go, what? How did I just eat a whole box of Oreos or bag of Oreos? I couldn't control it. So I learned actually not to trust myself. But then I had to realize, wait, I have control over my relationship with food. I have control over how I think about food. I have control over some of these behaviors that I feel toxically lost to in these addictions. And part of the control starts with the self-talk, the beliefs, the attitude, the support from others that you can control, that you can get. And so those are all, I mean, amazing things. And I want to be clear on the list. Like, those are the things we can control. So we need to always focus on that which we can control. The minute we lose perspective of that, the minute we shift from focusing on what we do have in our control, which really, if you boil it down, is us, right? You are the only person you really have control over. Like, if I take that whole list and condense it, well, it's us. Like, you have control of you. That's it. So why is it that we waste so much time, so much energy, so much anxiety over trying to control things that we just can't? Like the future, you know what I mean? There's so many things that we try to control that we simply cannot. There's also a sense, another perspective on control that's a good thing is, we've talked about this in other episodes, but boundary setting. Like, I have someone in my life who's very close to me, but who emotionally dumps in my life. They just dump on me without an explanation, without support. And it's challenging, but I've learned that, okay, well, I don't have control necessarily of what that person's going to say to me, or how they're going to treat me, or how they're going to disregard any support for this relationship. But I do have control over me and my reaction to that person. And I have to manage that for my health and for my well-being. And I can't control their attitude. You guys, I've spent way too much time and effort and approaches trying to change that person's attitude and perspective on life. Because I knew if I could just switch that and get them, maybe they could listen to my podcast episodes. Maybe they would read this book. Like, you can't force somebody to drink the water, you know? You can't force a horse to drink. And so, like, I realized when I was trying to control to change that person to say, listen, you're always negative, you're always dumping on me, but let me spin it for you, let me reframe it. And they weren't ready to hear it. So I can't control that, but I can control how I see them and how I allow them to dump on me or pull me down. So I set more boundaries around myself. I set emotional boundaries. I still love that person, but I control that in a positive way. And then I also control my opinion of them. I know that I love them, and I know that they're not ready to make a change yet, but when they are, they're going to be so free. And so rather than be frustrated by the way that they're negative and toxic to me, I hurt for them. I ache for them because I can't wait for them to feel free from that. But I know I can't change them, so I don't have to take on the burden of trying to change them. Now, it's so much easier said than done, but it does help when I realize, okay, that's something positive I do have control over. I have control over myself and how I receive things from others. Now, there are things that we can control. And like in particular, I'll tell you guys, the honest truth is, the reason I wanted to talk about this is there's somebody extremely close in my life, like extremely close to my life. And out of respect to them, I'm going to not say who it is. And I love this person. And this person is not taking care of themselves. And it's so hard because I've watched this person. How do I even say it? Choose to make bad decisions. And I've tried to change this person. I've tried to change their attitude. I've tried to change their approach to health and their you know, their depression. And I've tried so many things. I just want this person to be okay. I just want this person to be happy. I just want this person to be healthy. But that person doesn't want it for themselves. And I thought, you know, oh, I should be motivating enough. What if I expressed to this person how much it would mean to me that they would make these changes and that they would want to live and they, you know, they would fight this disease or whatever. That could motivate them to fight for their life, like, and be healthy and care. It's the apathy that kills me. But you can't make somebody care that doesn't care. And then you also can't take it personally when they don't care about themselves. And that's been a really hard pill to swallow. So I've had to really, really, I mean, it's been about probably the last 4 weeks, I've really had to work around this topic of going, I cannot control other people. So who am I to think that I can? And why am I getting so upset? I have to work through. And what I did is I spoke to a therapist and I worked through, how do I work through this, right? Like, how do I journal through this? And you journal through it by forgiving the person, like letting go and loving that person for where they are and how they are. I would love for that person to care about their health. I would love for that person to not seem to be knocking down death's door without a care, like really just giving up. I just am like, I want that person to care, to fight, to step up, to, but I can't. I can't make them care. And that is so, it's so paralyzing. It feels so disempowering. And what was empowering for me was when I walked through these journaling questions my therapist gave me and just spoke them out and wrote them out to say, like, how can I love this person for where they're at, even though they're not making choices and doing things that I wish that they were. And that was so helpful. It's walking through, you have to learn to forgive somebody and then let go of that and give them the power back. They have control over them. I'm the only person I can control. And I had to remind myself, and that forgiveness exercise allowed me to do that. But I've got to remember, in realizing that I have control over me, I don't have control over them. And I have to give them that right and then love them for where they're at. So, you know, and I'll tell you this, when I'm trying to be in control over things I really don't have control over, it feels overwhelming. It's really anxiety invoking. Like it's like that, you feel like you're walking in this emotional haze of numbness, and it's limiting because it really becomes all consuming. And it just like, it's just, you feel heavy and your heart is so burdened. And I mean, the bottom line is it gets you nowhere. And really, you can't change somebody. And this idea, this false sense, it's almost like this false self-grandization of like thinking that I can play God, and I can't. You know, another way I used to try to, I have struggled with this negative sense of control is thinking that I could control, and this is where perfectionism comes in, thinking I could control that my family's happiness, or I could fix issues around me if I could just be perfect, right? Like, oh, if I'll just be perfect and I'm just get straight A's, and if I'm popular and I make the Olympics and I do all these athletic things, and if I could just do everything right, then everything's going to be okay. Like everybody should be happy, right? But the reality is that something that's performance-based, my performance to potentially earn the opinion or value or change or sway the opinion or happiness of somebody else, it's playing God. Like it's just ridiculous to think that I could change how they see the world. I can't control how someone else sees the world or their problems. And I'll tell you, that performance-based sense of control, that perfectionistic approach to life is exhausting. It's unsustainable, and it absolutely leads to nowhere. And if you guys haven't yet heard last week's episode on perfectionism, I would recommend it's episode number 175. You can access it at trishblackwell.com/175. And I'm going to help you with some ways on how to really let go of perfectionistic thinking. But, you know, here's the thing. Like I wasted, in my eating disorder, I wasted 10 years of my life trying to control, right, falsely control what other people thought of me, my value in their eyes, by trying to be skinnier, by trying to look a specific way. I also spent a lot of my childhood trying to control the happiness level of my family, by trying to be a perfect child. You know, and both of those things, those attempts are just two examples of ways I've dabbled with this false sense of control that haven't gotten me anywhere. And I also spent, like, in the pursuit of this perfect body, right? It wasn't just to control other people's opinions of me, but it was also to control my own happiness. I thought, well, if my body was perfect, well, and if, you know, if I always had a six-pack, even when I was sitting down, which, by the way, is ridiculous, well, then I will always be happy. Like, well, what could I have to complain about? Like, I had this false idea that I could control something physically, and I saw myself as myself as a person as just a body. Like, I didn't take into mind that full approach, that like the fact that we're a trinity, we are mind, a spirit, and a body, that I was a three-dimensional being, not just a body. And so what I realized in that time, I was only thinking I could control my body and that would control my happiness, whereas your happiness is determined by your attitude and what you believe and what you and your relationship with, like, with God and your spiritual walk. Like, so here's my list. That all to be said, I wanted to put together the list. I gave you the list of the things that we can control. Here are the things that we cannot control. And I think the first couple ones are the most profound. Okay, we cannot control what others think of us. We cannot control what other people say. We cannot control what other people do or don't do. We can't control what actually happens circumstantially in life. We can't control what happens in the world around us. We can't control what happens in the future. We can't control what has happened in the past. We cannot control how other people take care of themselves or how other people put boundaries around toxic behaviors or not. We can't control that we age or how long we actually live or our body types or the, but we can control us. I think those first ones in that list, what other people think of us, what other people say, and what people do or don't do, those are all things that I think we buy into and get sucked into. But you guys, when you let go of that and you surrender it, it is just, it is extraordinary. It's life-changing. And I just want to, I want you to consider these lists. And if you want to check them out, they're going to be in my podcast archives at trishblackwell.com/176. And take a look at the list. Look at and review what you can control and what you can't. I have a list of like, it's probably what, 10 things on each list. But if you want to really boil it down, what can you control? You. What can't you control? Anybody else but you. So that simple, it simplifies it a little bit, but I love that we have control of our attitude. We have control of our beliefs. We have control over our relationships with ourselves and with food. And we have control over breaking free from our addictions. If we, you know what I mean? Like there's so much that we do have control over, but we get all consumed by the things that we don't have control over. And we convince ourselves and get ourselves into these tizzies of trying to control the future, trying to, you know, protect everything that's ever going to happen. And it's just, you guys, it's a giant waste of our time. And more than anything, it's a giant distraction from the great purpose that we are actually called to be living out and doing. And so I think that's the real crux of this show is like, we need to not be distracted from loving the world, from being and going out there and doing that which we were created to do. So here's the thing, God's got you. Letting go of control is a spiritual process, and it's a sense of like, you know, we talk about personal development so much. I want you to look at this as spiritual development. And there's an art to surrender. And I don't know about you, but I want to approach this work of life like it's a work of art, because it is. Like you've heard me talk about it before, this art of living beautifully. Well, we're the craftsmanship of God. And so how we live is working out that art. And I want mine to be beautiful. I also like that letting go of control reminds us that we're human. You know, the reality is that we think we know best, but we really don't. So let's stop pretending. Let's start being real. You know, this takes a tremendous amount of pressure off of you when you realize, like, I don't have to know it all. In fact, who even put that in my mind to think that I should think that I know it all? You know, it lets you be you and God be God. And that is freedom. And there's a profound unburdening of your soul that will happen when you allow yourself to realize that you do not need to be God. You just need to be you. So here are my 5 questions to help you constructively let go of control. I'm going to read them through once, and then I'll read them through another time. And if you, I really so deeply believe in the power of writing and journaling. Even if you don't think you're a writer, there's so much value to putting something to paper or to Word document, but like work through these questions. Number one, what do you have control over? Number two, what do you not have control over? I want you to think about what is it that's really bothering you in life right now? What's the big thing that's churning your soul? Number three, what areas of your life have you falsely tried to control that you need to release and surrender? Number four, when was the last time you had a good cry? Like, how do you effectively have a safe place to express emotions over the things that really are out of your control? And that question's important to me. To go back to that story I was telling you about the person in my life right now, like I had to have a good cry. I've had a lot of good cries over that person. I had to surrender the control, but I can't just let go. Like letting go of control doesn't mean you stop caring, is my point. But to get to the place where you can love someone for where they're at or love a situation for what it is, you might need to mourn it. You might need to grieve over it. You might need to work through those emotions. A good cry, I think, is good for everyone. And number five, who do you believe God to really be? And do you really believe that he loves you and will care for you and take care of you? So those five questions. Number one, what do you have control over? Number two, what do you not have control over? Number three, what areas of your life have you falsely tried to control that you need to release and surrender? Number four, when was the last time you had a good cry? Or how can you effectively express emotions of letting go of the things that really are out of your control? And number five, who do you believe God to really be? And do you really believe that he loves you and that he will take care of you? Because that's it for today's episode. Let me give you the listener of the episode. I love this part. Listener of the episode is Robin. Here's what she said. She said, "Hey, Trish, I just wanted to thank you so much for writing Insecurity Detox, which also led me to your Confidence on the Go podcasts. For several years, I've been suffering from anxiety and super low self-esteem. I saw my fears and self-loathing not only bring me down, but I saw a change in my husband's happiness too. I finally realized that this was no way to live, and I sought counseling. In the process of working on my own anxiety, my counselor and I ended up working on the negativity in my thoughts about myself. Trish, in trying different techniques for my anxiety, some involved saying something positive to myself. I went weeks not being able to say anything positive except, I'm alive or my lungs are working. Finally, I wanted to bust out of that rut, and I literally needed a list to help me even know what to say to myself that was positive. This led me to the bookstore and to Insecurity Detox. You had lists! I started at the beginning, and at first, going through your writing exercises were emotionally exhausting. So hard for me to face my true self. So sad that for years I was mentally beating myself up. It was a devastating revelation. But I kept on, and even though I'm only on Detox 9, I already feel like a different, better, happier person. The me that I've been squashing down for decades, I've been putting through posting something short but impactful from each chapter on neon index cards to my bathroom mirror, and I'm just starting to listen to your podcasts. In fact, yesterday I was really having a hard time shopping for clothes, and I went to my car and listened to your podcast on body dysmorphia as a way to get over such a disappointing experience. You helped me from letting my mind go from far in the right direction in the wrong direction. The thing I most love about your cause is that you include God and his love in the conversation. As a Christian, I was in tears of frustration when it came to writing a letter from God in that part in your book, and I couldn't even do it. I didn't even know what to write. It took over a week for me to put pen to paper and do it, but eventually I did it. You are amazing, and I'm so thankful. My husband already notices a change in me too. Okay, tears of gratitude are coming now. We are laughing together, and we are enjoying so much more than ever. Thank you for reaching out to others with authenticity and faith. I'm already recommending your book to others because I recognize that anxiety and depression is an epidemic, and it all starts from within, but many of us don't even know it. I want others to feel as liberated as I am starting to feel. Thanks for your positive coaching. Thank you so very much. And Robin, thank you so very much for sharing that, for picking up the book Insecurity Detox at the bookstore, for putting pen to paper even when it was hard, and just for saying, I have control over my attitude. I have control over this journey and this gift of life that God gave me, and I'm gonna live it out. So you guys, I just think an amazing story, and I've heard so many people experiencing the same thing with the book. If you haven't yet gotten your copy of Insecurity Detox, go ahead and pick it up at the bookstore, pick it up on Amazon, or at insecuritydetox.com. You guys, that is such a beautiful, beautiful letter of somebody who says, years of having this issue, no longer. You know, I can't control the past, but I have the present right now, and I'm going to be living the present out. So that's amazing. Last thing for the episode, you guys, I do have an announcement. You guys know I'm super excited to be launching the next episode, next session of Breakout. Breakout is my 30-day signature program. It starts September 4th. I have a few spots left. It is 30 days of you spending about 15 to 30 minutes a day on your own personal development through my guided exercises, video coaching, audio coaching, and one-on-one connection with me. You're right. You get on the phone and on Skype with me twice during this period. And you guys, I just want to help you start living. I want you to get off the sidelines of life. I want to help you break out from whatever it is that's holding you back. And I really believe, and I with a money back guarantee on it, I really believe I can help you do that in 30 days if you commit yourself to Breakout. Now, Breakout is for you if you're ready to launch your dream business or lifestyle, if you're ready to start having the courage to write that book, if you're ready to find freedom from toxic habits or negative thinking, if you're ready to love the skin you're in instead of constantly criticizing yourself, if you're ready to stop self-sabotaging your success, if you're ready to have better quality relationships or have the courage to start dating and feeling good about yourself, if you're ready to have more confidence in social situations, if you're ready to create high-level habits for yourself, if you're ready for accountability to help you rise to the next level of high-level habits, if you're ready to dig deep and find your purpose, if you're ready to stop with excuses and start taking action on life, if you're ready to face your fears, if you're ready to finally learn how to believe in yourself and feel confident in who you are. I want you to grab your spot today and make the month of September the month that you stop waiting for life and instead start living it. You can enroll at trishblackwell.com/breakout. I cannot wait to personally coach you and connect with you. You guys go out there today. Go have an amazing day. Control what you can, which is you. You have control of your attitude, and that is the motherboard of everything. Let go of everything else. Go be you. Be you. Be free. Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review in iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.